welcome to Season 4, Episode 5 of The Grand Cast. Tonight is November the 12th, a Sunday, rare Sunday recording, with Mr. Garrett Elzinga.
That's me. This is the sound of my voice.
Thank you for being here this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me. You nailed the name, by the way. That's exactly how it's pronounced.
Oh.
That's good.
Do people say it wrong?
Some people, I've gotten Elzinger.
That's pretty good.
My favorite is Jared Enigma. I've gotten that, which is...
Jared Enigma.
I'm not a Batman villain. I don't know why. Yeah.
I like to start out each episode going over the mission statement for the show, which is the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And then I have two goals for the show. The first is to post one new episode weekly, which I faltered a bit on, but we're back on course.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah. Especially during the summer, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And the second goal is to make at least two people's day better through the creation of quality content. It used to be one person. I upped the ante to two.
Oh, good.
I briefly went to three and then retracted back to two. I became overly ambitious.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's good to test and know your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get back to three one day.
You will. You gotta believe in yourself.
There's only seven episodes left. Six after this.
Okay, that's good.
No, seven after this.
Is it six? Yeah, 7 weeks. This year. This year has flown by.
Yeah, it has. Good year, though.
Mm-hmm.
All things considered. Made it through a whole year of 45.
Yeah. Whole year of Trumparino.
And things haven't gotten too crazy yet.
Well, 2018 is going to be. That's where it's going to happen.
Midterm election.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. See if people show up to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, this is your one-year warning. Get ready, people. Register, all that. It's going to be an important one. Assuming we make it to the election.
Yeah, I mean, it might be nuclear war.
Maybe.
Apparently there's a roast going on Twitter right now and only Donald Trump is participating, but...
Oh.
Did you see the tweet against Kim Jong-un that he had?
Recently?
Yeah, it was like last night.
Oh.
It might have gotten shadowed by the Louis C.K. thing, but...
Ah.
It was something to the effect of... I don't know why... I'll do it as Trump. I don't know why Kim Jong-un is saying that I'm old. Because I don't go around saying that he's short and fat. I've always wanted to be friends with him. Maybe it'll happen someday. It's something along those lines. And I'm like, wow. Who gave him extra characters? I didn't think. God, yeah. So, who knows?
It was always kind of nice how he would have to break his messages up into multiple tweets. Or intentionally misspell things to fit in. To one tweet.
Cofefe.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't go on Twitter too much, but I've heard a bit of a ruckus about the increase in the character limit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah.
140 to 280?
I don't. It's too much. It's. I liked 140, and now it's too much.
Who wants to read that much, really?
Nobody.
Let's jump into the interview portion of the show. Garrett, what is your favorite color?
I always say red.
Hmm. Is there a particular shade of red that you enjoy most?
Just the brightest, like not a dark red. I haven't thought about this in a long time. Like the bright red, like the color that's on this microphone here. Like the little, it's very, it keeps you alert, I guess.
It does. Red's like a warning color.
Yeah.
Because people associate it with, like, blood.
Yeah. So. Yep, I'm sick. There's that.
If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
Man. Yeah, man. That's...
Oh, that's a good answer.
No. I already am. I don't know. Owls. I think an owl. I really like owls. I think that whole spin your head around the whole way is really cool. And they're out at night. There's the phrase night owl.
Yeah. Are you more of a night owl?
Well, yeah. Doing stand up at night, you just, you know, it's usually what makes me most excited and happy. And, you know, I like drinking and hanging out. So I'd say an owl. I'd be a night owl.
Thank you. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
Probably the first time I went on stage. Or do you mean performing comedy or
no,
just comedy in general?
Just experiencing something that you viewed as comedy in hindsight.
Oh, that's a good one. Do dead air. Here, we'll... Yeah.
I got a new little sound device called an instant audience, which has an incredibly long applause.
It's so great.
And more buttons, which you might hear later.
Yeah, I'm going to keep those a secret. I'm not going to put them on right now.
Stay tuned to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I finish the thought I'm trying to have. I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's controversial, I guess, but Bill Cosby was probably the first comic that I listened to at like 3 or 4. And that's one of the things I remember because I had a cassette tape. I had 2 cassette tapes of his and I'd listen to him constantly. But yeah, he was a really big inspiration. So what happened with him is a pretty big blow. I don't know. I think that's the first kind of memory. Like, my parents aren't funny. My one grandpa tries to be. He likes to say jokes all the time that are street jokes and they're never funny. And then my grandpa, who recently passed away, he was the really funny one. Like, he could make me laugh with anything he said. And it was mostly personality. Like, what he said wasn't necessarily funny, but just the way he said it. I love that. But yeah, probably that. Because I knew him from birth, so.
Where did you get the Bill Cosby tapes from? Is that something you bought on your own or got from a friend?
No,
or?
My parents had them. They got them from somewhere, I don't know, but I listened to the cassette tapes, which tells you how long ago it was. It was cassette tapes.
What's a cassette tape?
I've heard people say, what's a CD? They don't know what a CD is. Yeah, they still sell them. Are you kidding?
Physical media.
And then they know what, you know, vinyl records are. And I'm like, I will kill you and your family. You were raised wrong.
What is a street joke?
Oh, a street joke is, it's just a joke that's been told for years and years and years. And no one knows who originally told it. You know, guy walks into a bar. All those are street jokes. So
those are good ones.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Street joke.
I like knock, knock jokes. And how did you first get involved in performing comedy?
I watched a lot of comedy on TV. I watched Comedy Central Presents specials, HBO specials all the time. And so then I just watched it enough that I started, you know, wanting to do it. So then at 15, I went to the local comedy club and started there. And it was terrible. So it's a lot better now. It's like 11, 12 years ago, I think. So. Yeah, I just kept seeing it all the time, and I just wanted to do it, and I did it.
And stuck with it. 12 years.
Yeah.
It's impressive. There's not a lot of people that have done anything for 12 years.
Yeah, hopefully I die next year. That's what I'm hoping. What? Just leave a legacy of, oh, you know, he had some okay work.
Are you going to be 27 next year?
In March, 27.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh boy is right. Yeah. 3 years until I'm 30. I better not still be having a day job at that point. That's all I pray.
It would be nice. Living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream is an interesting phrase because no one uses it seriously. Have you noticed that? It's like, how are you doing? Living the dream. They don't mean it.
Some people do. And most of it's sarcastic.
Yeah.
Bitterness. Yeah. That's a coping mechanism, I guess, right?
I think so, because if I'm doing well, I would say, you know, I'm doing great. Like, not exactly like that, because that sounds like I'm being sarcastic. But, yeah, I would never say living the dream. Unless maybe I was living the dream. Maybe then I would. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. My favorite color is red. Have we talked about that?
Yeah. The brightest red there is.
Mm-hmm.
Saw some super bright red shoes during the Grand Rapids Improv Festival.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They were impressively bright. Like radiant.
Like stop sign red?
But more.
Oh, man. Okay.
I don't know how they made them that lustrous.
I gotta find those shoes.
They were New Balance. That's my favorite.
I just got a pair of Adidas that I really like. Those are very comfy.
But you just got them?
Maybe like 3 months ago.
Yeah, you gotta see how they hold up over a year or two.
Yeah, they'll probably break down.
That's why I like New Balance. They hold up. They're not a sponsor yet.
Oh, well, they will be now. They Hopefully. Have to be.
You can reach out to Josh if you're listening, Mr. and Mrs. New Balance. Let's talk about Dr. Grins.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of confusion over this prompt, and I should probably stop using it, but what I'm really asking is if you could please talk about Dr. Grins.
It's a comedy club in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's located at 20 Monroe Avenue, Northwest, 49504, I think. It's inside the Bob. It's the third floor. It does comedy every weekend of the year. We're in the busy season right now, so it's pretty fantastic. Great comics are coming in. And, yeah. Did you have any specific questions about it?
You're the host? The
yeah.
MC? I'm not sure what the...
Yep. I'm the house MC, so I'm there every weekend unless I'm out of town for other work. So I'm a traveling feature, which I'd like to move up to headline so you close out the show. So yeah, so for listeners, it's it goes MC, who's the master of ceremony, so they go up and they you know, they intro the show, they keep the show together, they have the energy to bring up the crowd, make them excited for the next act, who is the feature or the middle, if you will. And then they do about 25 to 30 minutes, and then the headliner closes it out, and they do 45 to an hour. So it's like the three man show, basically. If you travel to bars, usually they have a two man show, and yeah, I like the three man show a lot more, because if it's a two, then that feature middle person has to be the MC, so then they. You know, it's like they have two different jobs, which they're not supposed to have. It's this weird thing for the dynamic of the show. But I like what Dr. Grins does. Most clubs in the country do that. So.
That's a good segue into let's talk about traveling to perform.
Okay. I do that. I don't do it as much as I want to. But, you know, it is what it is. I want to travel more. But I was for a while. And then now that I'm the MC, it's kind of, I think you're looked at as the MC. And I'm like, I'm so much better than that. I can do so much more. Because the MC only gets like, you know, 10 minutes. So.
But more frequently? It's like a weekly? Or
it is weekly. It's a steady.
Multi-nights a week?
It's a steady paycheck, but it's not enough to live on, you know. Like, it's yeah. like you do that every weekend. It's mostly about meeting people and hanging out with other comics that maybe they can take you on the road, like that kind of thing. But
you get a lot of opportunities to try new material.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm working on some stuff right now about clothes, I guess. I don't know. And Kevin Spacey, I'm trying to do a thing about that.
Oh, boy.
Because, yeah. Well, Baby Driver is my favorite movie of the year, and it's one of my favorites of all time. And then the Kevin Spacey stuff broke, so it's nearly impossible to talk about with anybody because he's in it.
Yeah. Did you see Blade Runner?
I did. I thought that was fantastic.
But Baby Driver was better for you? Mm-hmm. Is it just the genre?
There's something about it. There was something about the whole thing, the way it came together, the funniness of it, it's just great. The music, it really drives the whole movie, pun intended. It's great. What is that? Is it a vacuum?
I think that's a vacuum.
You obviously can't hear it, listeners, but...
They might be able to. Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Matt.
I love that you know the listeners by name. That's great.
Yeah. We keep in touch.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good to get feedback on how things are going.
What's some of the feedback you've gotten?
That it's going...
Oh, good. Pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they had like bullet points that they, they send you in an email.
No, people have been surprisingly uncritical to my face.
Good.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
That means it's good.
I like to listen to it. And that's why I make it. Like, I drive a lot for work. So,
yeah, so
I didn't have enough podcasts to listen to. So I made my own.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you do in the cities that you travel to when you aren't at the venue?
Ooh, one of the things I really like to do, I mentioned records earlier, but I do collect records. I collect records and CDs and, you know, DVDs, Blu-rays. I don't know. I really just like having the actual thing. So I go to thrift stores and try and find stuff for really cheap. That's one thing I do. Every town I go to, I always check out the record shop they have. And I've found places where they're selling CDs for like 25 cents. So you'll get like Tony Braxton or something like that. You're like, I've never listened to this before. Oh, Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. I've never listened to this before. Let's listen to it because I have 14 hours to drive back home, you know? So, and I like driving as well. I don't really like flying that much. So, I mean, I would, but I don't have money. So I'll just pay in gas and tolls.
I had Mike Logan on 2 weeks ago, I think, mm-hmm. as the last most recent guest. And we talked about maybe getting a CB radio for those long drives.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Talk with truckers and try out your material on them.
I never even thought about that. That's a good idea. Breaker 19, I got a joke for you. Go fuck yourself. All right. Never mind. Breaker 10. All right.
That could be an interesting podcast.
I think it would. Has anyone done that? That's a great idea for a podcast.
I don't know.
Truck talk or something like that. I don't know.
There's a lot of truck drivers out there, and they probably listen to podcasts.
Yeah,
and stuff
I wonder.
All the time.
I wonder if truck drivers listen to podcasts because it's always like.
Yeah.
In the '90s there was like. There's been multiple movies about trucking and truck, like I'm thinking of three right now, like Breakdown, the Russell Kurt Russell movie, which kind of revolves around that. There's also Big Trouble in Little China from the 80s, and that deals with trucks. Black Dog with Patrick Swayze and Meatloaf, that's a trucking movie. Joyride is that one with Steve Zahn and whatever his name is. He died from Fast and the Furious. What was his name?
Paul Walker.
I think he's in it. But that's like a trucker that tries to kill people. It's like there's no trucking movies anymore.
Huh.
I never even thought of that. And no one else has because who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. I just listed off four movies that everyone's like, I don't really care.
Hadn't heard of it.
But yeah, that'd be an interesting podcast. I think I'd listen to that. Like try and, you know, get the deepest, darkest secrets of these truckers.
I'm sure they got stories.
They have to. Yeah, I ran over a hooker last night. Oh, Jesus, that's terrible. Let me tell you more. Please do. This will get a lot of hits.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, are things like that people broadcast publicly? Is that like a fair use thing? Do you have to get their permission to report them?
I think you might. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they're just broadcasting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get like automatic copyright over the stuff that you produce publicly.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm. maybe just do it and then let the lawyers sort it out afterward.
Yeah, we'll get some lawyers on the team. We'll get some comic lawyers. We got Robert Jenkins and Nick Laidorf. Those are two lawyers.
Harvey Birdman.
Who?
Harvey Birdman.
Oh, who's that? Sorry.
From a, I think it was Adult Swim cartoon.
Oh.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
I haven't watched it. Rick and Morty's my thing.
Ooh.
I love Rick and Morty.
So good.
I didn't finish season 3 yet.
What?
I know.
You're savoring it?
Yeah, I have to watch it with my girlfriend, so I'm waiting to watch it with her.
It's kind of nice having delayed gratification and consuming media in this binge-watching era.
I hate binge-watching. But the thing is, like, if you don't binge-watch, then you're not guaranteed that you're going to see everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you start something and then you're like, oh, that was a good episode. And then you kind of just step away for a while and then you totally forget.
Mm.
You know, there's so much media out there. And none of it is about truck drivers. Come on, guys. All right.
I think there's a couple like reality shows. Ice Road Truckers.
Yeah, there's that. But, you know.
They're like the Hollywood of truck driving.
Mm-hmm. Deadliest Catch, which it's like all these job things that, you know. The most dangerous jobs or something.
Have you tried performing other forms of comedy, like improv or sketch?
I tried sketch for a second. I lived with a couple other comics in the area in like 2013, I think it was, 2012, and we did a couple sketches. They're on YouTube. But they're not good. They're not that funny. The execution's probably not the best, but it was still a kind of dip your toe in and do it. I never tried improv, but
no interest.
Not really. I don't fault people who do improv. Like, I think it's great if you can. I just don't. I like being alone on stage. Like, I don't like the idea of having to rely on somebody else or having somebody else have to rely on me.
Mm.
You know, and I do a lot of crowd work as the MC. Like, I never did that much crowd work until now. And I try and improvise as many lines as possible when I'm talking to them. And it goes well most of the time. So,
you have any birthdays in the audience tonight?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's just like, who's celebrating? Like, I like that thing of, like, how will I say it? It'll be like, who's celebrating something tonight? Like, you're kind of just thinking of it off the top of your head. And then you know, get into it. Because I have a couple stock things that I say if it's like a bachelorette party or a birthday or an anniversary. But I kind of like asking different questions just to see what they say and kind of deal with that, which is super fun. We had 3 bachelorette parties last night.
Ooh.
And like if there's 1 bachelorette party, they're loud. But there were 3. And then there was 2 birthdays and just the idea that you get to talk to them, get them rowdy, shut them down, and then they're ready for the rest of the show. There's nothing more gratifying than that. It feels so great, and it went really well last night. But those are my improv skills. What?
Who's the headliner?
Don Friesen. He's out in L.A. He had a Showtime special called Ask Your Mom, and he's all over Sirius XM Radio. But, yeah, he's really good. It was a fun weekend.
Nice. How is Grand Rapids different from other cities for performing comedy?
Well, there's 1 open mic and
there's 3.
Oh.
Tip Top Deluxe Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's
Fulton Street Pub Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dr. Grins.
Yeah, there is the Grins. It's hard to even consider that one because it's part of another. It's part of one of the shows because like on Thursdays at Grins, we have the open mic. So 5 people will get 3 minutes each and they get a dinner bell at 2. And then it means that they have a minute to wrap up. And we literally use a dinner bell. But it's so quick. It's so fast paced and it's in front of a good crowd. So it does make people be like, oh, I got to do my best stuff. So I like that aspect of it, but yeah, that's an open mic. And then we have Tip Top, which I always love going to. And then,
I haven't been to the Fulton Street Pub one yet.
I went once and it was It was not good. It was not good.
Maybe it was just an off night. I'm going to check it out at some point.
I mean, I'd go again, but yeah, it's just weird. Like, the booths, people are in booths. They're not facing the stage, and there is no stage. It's kind of, you're just on the floor. Mm. I don't know.
There's a thing at Rocky's, like, first
Mondays. Yeah. Yeah, that's more of a showcase. It's still kind of an open mic, but it's like, it's booked in advance. And, yeah.
I haven't been to that yet either.
Check that one out. That one's really good.
Yeah. What time does that start? Do you know?
That starts at about 8:30. It's the first Monday of every month. Run by Keith Davey. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always at Dog Story Theater on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
But 8:30, I could probably get in there. Because Dog Story, they have the show section 7 to 8 every Monday for $5. And then the 8 to 9 is like an open jam that anybody can do.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I think I went to that once. It was a while ago, but...
The shows are really good.
Yeah.
They get a lot of good groups going through, always different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. Definitely.
And Mulligan's does a thing for improv on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays starting at 9, Fictional Friends Improv in the back room.
Yeah.
The other side or something. I don't know what they call it.
Yeah, I can't remember. The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, you go down a dark alley and then go through a unmarked door and then you're in a wonderful performance
space. There's a signpost up ahead. It's the Twilight Zone.
A lot of very funny comedians there.
Yeah. So your question. In comparison with other cities, it's like every night of the week you can get up. Here it's very sparse. For stand-up especially. Like, we used to have it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday grins, and then Friday, Saturday, we wouldn't have anything. And then Sunday, we also had the Sunday Night Funnies, but everything's just done. Hmm. So I want to start another room, but there's just... Everything's a brewery, and there's no stage. Like, there's just a select few places that you could do it at, you know?
You think having the elevated platforms...
Absolutely. I think it helps a lot because it's if you have a stage, it seems like you're supposed to be there. You know what I mean? If there's no stage, then it just seems like, oh, what's this guy doing holding the microphone? And it's like ambush comedy is the worst kind because it's just people hanging out, eating dinner, their families are there, whatever. And then all of a sudden they just tap that mic and then, you know, time to tell some dick jokes. It's like, my daughter is 9. She's here. Stop it. And then the person who just started doing comedy, like, you know, 3 months ago is just like, I have an opinion and I'm right. It's like, dude, you're in their territory. It's like, it's funny.
For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
It would be stand-up for me. I love stand-up the most. I mean, I can watch the others, but it's just, for me, it seems like I relate more to stand-up because I do it, and I like the crafted nature of it. Like, I like the idea of someone polishing something over and over again until it finally works, and you can create that rhythm. And most of the improv I've seen, I've seen some really good improv, but most of it I've seen, it's just like, it's newer people kind of just, it's like watching an open mic for 90 minutes. And it's like, I've seen that kind of comedy, like stand up and I can't do it, but that's just my experience. I don't go out enough to see it. So I'm always just working on my stuff cause I'm selfish.
Oh, what is a good movie that you watched recently?
Baby Driver. there's another one. What did I see? Thor Ragnarok. Did you see that one?
No.
Are you not a superhero movie guy?
Not really. Okay. I like Batman a lot.
Yeah. Did you like Batman versus Superman?
No.
I'm sorry. It's probably a dark, pun intended, it's probably a dark thing for you.
Yeah. Maybe Avengers will make up, or Justice League will make up for it.
Yeah, reviews are coming in. They say it's good. It's not as good as Wonder Woman, but they're saying it's good.
Wonder Woman was pretty good.
I really liked that. I thought it was good.
Yeah. The only thing that really bothered me about that movie was, I don't think it's a spoiler, like when the Navy ship, all the guys in the little boats go to the island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Defeated.
What about that giant Navy ship sitting there with the big guns?
Like, yeah.
It's just not a problem.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
It's a little nitpicky.
Well, maybe it couldn't go in. Wasn't there a thing where like something was turned off and that's the reason that they could go in, or they kind of just found it by... I can't remember. I should see it again. That is a good plot point. Plot hole.
I might be completely wrong because I wasn't paying super close attention.
Well, I'll check IMDb.
What is a good streaming show that you've watched recently?
I don't know. I haven't really watched any lately. I started Stranger Things. I'm in season one, and everyone is like raving about that. And I liked it. I just didn't finish the episode.
I've been watching season two. I think I'm through the first four episodes, and it's been really slow so far. But maybe that's the whole suspense building thing. I don't know. I just find it a little boring at the moment.
There's just so many shows I need to watch. I never watch TV. I go to the movies to make sure that I see a movie. Because if I watch it on my own, it's like I'm not going to do it, you know.
Too many distractions? Or...
No, I have other things to do. Like I'm always trying to, you know, write jokes or play guitar or record something or edit music or stand up and stuff like that.
Are you in a band or?
Kinda. It's called The Barn because we perform in a barn. And it's when my friends can get together. We'll just record music and then I edit all the stuff into a quote unquote album and then put everything up on SoundCloud for free. So.
Nice. What's the SoundCloud URL, do you know?
The Barn 6, I think, because there's other people that have it. Because they're like, yeah, we just perform in a barn too. And then there's another one because we put up another album and we were over the limit. So I think that's the underscore barn. So I think, I don't know, I can't remember. I always just search for The Barn, and it's like the fourth one that comes up.
Is there a particular style of music that you play, or is it a...
It ranges from like acoustic to electric, punk. We call it barn rock because it's whatever we want it to be. It's like garage rock, but, you know.
Nice. And you... edit and record other things that you publish then?
I have solo music too. And that's on Bandcamp, bandcamp.com, but it's under The Winning Losers and it's just me. So that one's fun. I recorded and released an album in 2014 and some people bought it, but it was like definitely a thing where I want to put, you know, the music that I've written and the lyrics to something. So I did that. I want to do another one, but it's just, there's so many things to do. Like I have a, you know, just constantly working and every night doing shows and life just, you know, kind of gets away from you.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a web comic. I think it's called Wait, But Why? And they do different explorations of things. And one of the concepts they had relatively recently was you get like 100 buckets of time per day. And you have to decide how you're going to use those buckets.
Interesting. Wait, but why? No, I'm kidding. So what? How can I check that out? It's called Wait, But Why?
I think so. Let me double check.
I want to listen to that.
They have a lot of interesting webcomics. There's one about like your inner elephant, I think it's called.
And never, how it never forgets.
Rimshot. Yeah, Wait, But Why? com, long form illustrated blog.
Oh, it's an illustration. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was a podcast for some reason. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. 100 blocks a day, not 100 buckets.
Oh, it's blocks?
100 blocks of time per day.
Never mind.
I'm out of there. Lots of interesting, thought-provoking stuff on there, though. Garrett, I have heard you called a generous communicator. What is your response to that?
Who the fuck said that? That's my response. That's nice. I like to think that I listen and react to people and weigh options and communicate well. I really stammered through that sentence. I don't know. If I fuck something up, I like to blame myself or, you know, be constructively thinking about why it happened or whatever. Like that sentence previous to the previous sentence. Who said that?
Angelica.
Aw, that's nice. Yeah, because I remember because we had like a conversation about comedy and it being like a boys club and stuff like that. And she brought up points that I'd never even thought about before. But it was like we were both able to just have a conversation, not let emotions get in the way, think about things logically. And it was really great. That was really cool. So, yeah, that was the conversation. No, that's nice. Cool.
Let's talk about drinking alcohol in relation to performing. How, like, people that drink before performance, people mm-hmm. that drink during a performance, people that wait and drink after, people that don't drink at all. Just like, what are your thoughts on?
I think it's different for everybody. I feel it doesn't affect me. Like, if I drink before going on stage and I'm feeling tipsy, it doesn't really affect me. Like, I get slower and more methodical, and I focus more on the way that I'm talking, like that kind of thing. But then if I'm, like, consciously thinking about it versus if I'm sober, I'm not. But it's like, as long as the crowd doesn't know. I don't know. I've had friends tell me that they didn't even know I was drunk the previous night. And I'm like, that's a sign that you have a problem. But I don't know. It doesn't really affect me. I try to not do it. Like, I'll have a little bit, you know, after the first show, between the first and second show, just so you can kind of get on their level, you know, because the second show is always going to be the drunkest one. So I always try and catch up a little bit, but I don't like to be sloshed. I don't forget jokes or anything like that. You know, I don't start repeating other stuff, but I've seen people do it where they're just so lost on stage. And I'm like, you need to quit drinking on stage. So
do you prefer an audience that's only slightly tipsy to one that's like shit-faced?
I prefer attentive and not rambunctious. But you can even have sober people who are rambunctious. And it just depends on the group of people and the way that you talk to them. So I prefer ready to have a good time. Like, there's nothing better than a crowd that's like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Versus people that walk in and it's just like, how bad is this going to be? It's like, what, are you going to lose a bet? What's wrong with you?
If you knew for absolute certain that 1 year from now, humanity would go extinct, how would you spend that time?
Finishing all these projects that I want to work on. Because, I don't know. It's not like anyone that we know. Like, if humanity went extinct, it's not like anyone that we know would know about it. It would be that kind of thing where it's like Planet of the Apes, where they discover it in a cave and just be like, why did it say mama? Like, why that doll? But, you know, someone farther down the line can unearth it, I guess, or it can stay on the internet forever and apes can evolve. And, you know, I'm talking like I'm high. I'm not. this is just the biggest conversation of the day. And it's what, 8:30 at night?
8:51 at the moment.
Okay. No, I don't know. I think I would do that. I would try to hang out with my family more. I would quit both of my jobs. Or no, I'd probably still do the stand-up thing, but I would definitely quit my day job. Ride out the money that I have, rack up as much credit card debt as I could. go to New York again. Visit everywhere I wanted to. Go to, you know, Ireland, the Netherlands, what my family lineage is. Buy a boat, sail the lakes. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. You know, just do whatever I wanted to do.
Thank you.
Jerk off a lot. Consensually. Not in a hotel room. Oh, that one faded out weird. That was weird. This is like, this is the boo button. And then it's like, they just cut themselves off. You're like, boo. Never mind. Yeah.
Not too much outrage in those boos.
It was like three people. It was like Queen doing Bohemian Rhapsody. They looped the boos. They sound like cows. They sound like cattle. A little bit.
Yeah. Like cows from the south or something.
Mm-hmm. Moo.
Let's talk about publishing an album of stand-up comedy.
I did do that as well.
What was that process like?
I recorded it in Kalamazoo at a place called Louie's. They have an open mic on Tuesdays at 9. Yeah, I recorded it there because I knew the sound guy had a really good setup. And he did it for free. And I told him that I'd hook him up with some money when I actually put the album out. But it was like, I think, 3 months later. And I'd moved to New York. And then he stayed in Kalamazoo for a little bit. And then he moved to New York. And then we just never got met up with. Like, we didn't meet up with each other. So I felt bad. But then I gave him like a camera card or whatever, an SD card that mm-hmm. had the audio on it, and then he kept it. So I was like, that's fine, because that thing's like worth like 50-60 bucks. So yeah, but yeah, so recorded it, and I think I did an hour and 20 minutes, something like that, and then I edited it down, edited all the bad parts out, because maybe 20 people showed up, so it sounds like the room's full, but it's not. They laughed. It was good. I edited the whole thing, and then I put it up on Bandcamp. I put it up on what other websites?
Amazon?
Yeah, well, yeah, I went through CD Baby, so then everything got pushed to iTunes and Spotify and Amazon and all that stuff. So I have download cards that I sell at shows where people can, you know, go to this website, punch in a code, and then get the album. And that one came out in 2015. So I did the music album first, and then I did the stand-up album. So
does CD Baby charge something up front, or do they take a commission, or how does that work?
If there's an online sale, they take a commission from that. You also pay them up front to host everything, and then you don't pay them again unless someone buys it, and then, you know, either iTunes will take the commission or CD Baby will take it if it comes from them. But the download cards, I've already paid for them, so whatever I charge for them, I get all that money. So that's nice. Bandcamp also takes a percentage. Everyone takes a percentage of your art, but it's like you don't really have another option unless you record it, you burn it onto a CD, which I could do, but I don't know. It's shoddy. I don't want to do that.
And are you interested in doing more of that going forward?
Yeah, I have a new project coming down the pipeline of MC sessions from Dr. Grins, and I want to call it Bullet Biter, the MC sessions. And yeah, that's going to be edited of, you know, like basically a year of doing shows there, put the best bits into the whole, you know, a nice little package, and then put that up on whatever. It's kind of like an EP, you know, 30, 35 minutes, something.
A highlight reel?
Yeah. And then the next one after that, it'd be the new hour. So, yeah, The EP, the MC thing would be mostly crowd work. And then, you know, some jokes that didn't land well, some jokes that really did that I don't really do anymore. It's just a mixture of that. So look out for that, everybody. 2018, Bullet Biter.
Where would people be looking for that? You got some social medias?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. I'm trying to really push the promotion aspect of me and stuff like that now. So, yeah, just Garrett Elzinga, GerrittElzinga. If you just Google me, all this stuff will come up.
Great. Who are some of your role models?
Well, we've lost a lot of them in the past couple days. I don't know. Bill Hicks is number one. Stuart Huff is a fantastic comic. He's taken me on the road with him a little bit. But every time he comes through at Dr. Grin's, I want to be there and, you know, work with him because he's just great. Chad Daniels and Dan Cummins, those are two guys that are coming up to Grin soon, but those are huge inspirations. Good dudes, good to hang out with. I don't really have any more. I don't like to idolize people, especially now, you know. I just enjoy their art, and if they don't have, you know, rumors and things about them or bad things that I know, you know. Prince, musically, love Prince. He, you know, he was just short. It was the only thing about him that was bad.
I wasn't aware of any scandals with him.
No. Well, once he died, there was a lot of people trying to file for paternity tests and say that they're his kids. And it's just like, you can all go fuck yourselves. There's no way.
What are the biggest mistakes that you see newer comedians making?
Not moving the mic stand behind them when they take the mic out of the stand. Losing it on the audience, which I used to do a lot. And I've really tried to not do that anymore. Because that just makes everyone hate you. It's just you lose them. What else? Not holding the microphone to their mouth. You'll have some people that hold it down at their chest. That's annoying because no one can hear you. So they have to pay extra attention. And when they're paying extra attention, they miss the whole joke. What else? I don't know. Being very opinionated and thinking they know everything. That's one of the biggest ones, like especially on Facebook and stuff where they'll make posts about how things work. And it's like, you don't even know how things work yet. You're thinking about just the joke writing and you're not even thinking about the business side of it yet. It's like, well, I think I should be able to say this joke about cancer. And it's like, okay, think about how upset you're going to make everybody. Is the end of the joke worth it? Is it going to work? Have you guaranteed that it will? You know, it's like, well, I know. Well, Doug Stanhope does. And it's like, you're not Doug Stanhope. You are 2 weeks in, okay? But, you know. And I started at 15, so these are definitely mistakes that I made back then. But it's like, I don't do that now. And I haven't done that in, you know, years. So it's like, I was very fortunate to get all those mistakes out of the way very quickly. But
Stanhope's an interesting dude.
Yeah, I met him. He's great. He's a really nice guy.
Really raw comedy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't hold anything back.
Well, it's, you know, it's his art. It's what he does.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy as well. So it's like, I don't think words should be able to hurt someone if your intent is not to do that. You know? Actions are different than words, for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's coming out lately that's making me rethink things. I'm just trying to listen to everybody. It's like that conversation with Angelica. You read all these things on Facebook and you're just trying to be like, okay, how do I feel about this? And why do they feel that way? And how do I take all this stuff in and create a new opinion of how, you know. But I've read some great some great articles and stuff lately that's helped out.
How has the stand-up comedy scene in Grand Rapids been changing?
I just wish we had more shows to perform at, but there are some really good comics that are coming up and doing, you know, material that is good. So I always go out to the mics and try and see who could, you know, fill in as MC if I'm gone. Because that's a big part of it, too, is, like, you know, trying to find replacements when you're out of town. Or who, like, if I leave or die, who could, you know, take over? So.
It's the bus plan.
Mm-hmm.
You get hit by a bus, what do you do?
Yeah.
Not having a single point of failure.
I also don't want my last words to be like, have Mike Logan take over. Be like, do we put that on his epitaph or what?
Do you have any tips for people who want to write jokes?
Don't. No. I don't know.
Don't write jokes.
Yeah, don't write jokes. I would
more competition.
I would focus on what you really like about your favorite comics and what you don't like about the comics you don't like, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, what do you see people do that you like and what you don't like, and then write jokes that are kind of similar in tone, but don't try and tell it the exact same way. I don't know. It's very interesting. Like, if you're starting to write jokes, think about what you find funny. And then as time goes on, you'll learn how to piece it into a joke. Because some people just go up and ramble. And it's like, there's definitely an idea in there. Mm-hmm. But that's the first stages of starting, you know? That's of anything. The first stage of walking, first stage of writing, reading. It's like you have missteps along the way, and that's what makes the process better down the line. So just start by writing what you think is funny. And then edit it into better.
Are there a lot of comics who perform jokes written by other people, or is it primarily people doing their own content for
it's
everything?
Primarily original. There's a certain someone around here that started doing a joke after someone else did a joke, and it's using the same, you know, Midwest celebrity. It's like, or not Midwest, but Michigan, like, he's a card. Fuck it. I'll just say the whole thing. oh, God, what's the... John Flickema, that's the thing. But there's one comic who was doing the joke like that, and then another comic started, saw him do it, and then he started telling a John Flickema joke as well. And it's like, you saw the other guy do it, though, so you're getting nothing out of doing the same impression. You know, it's just weird. It's like they're two different jokes, obviously. But then, why are you doing that? That'd be like I had this big bit about the Boston molasses incident. Do you know that one?
Like a giant molasses container broke and flooded the streets?
Yeah, in Boston. Yeah, it was in 1919 and 21 people died. And my whole joke was about molasses, the slowest moving liquid known to man, killed people. Like, that's the whole thing. And then I go into a big, it's a big, big thing about it. But it'd be the same as if someone else started talking about it when I was doing it. It's like, you can see that's a staple bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, staple bits are definitely a thing, too, that's just like, that would be the last thing that you'd start doing. Is someone's joke that's doing very well. You know,
I meant more weird. Like, are there people that just write jokes and don't perform them for a stand-up rather than
edit jokes to all write? Of that out. I didn't have a... I don't know. I really don't know. Everyone that I know that writes jokes, they do them. Other than... Well, if Stu McAllister does a thing... in town called Tonight Tonight at the Holiday Bar.
Is that like third Monday of each month?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. And so he'll do that, but he has people, you know, write in jokes for him for the monologue at the beginning. So that's something where it's like, it's mostly comics, but I think there's other people he has on the list that don't really do comedy.
Hmm.
I could be wrong, but yeah, monologue jokes. That's definitely a thing that people do.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
Stella's, Hopcat, burgers. Stella's is definitely only here. Hopcat is kind of a chain now.
Yeah, there's like dozens of them.
Yeah. I like the Long Islands at the Meanwhile on Tuesdays. Those are great. Was it $3 for a Long Island?
Wow.
It's very great. You can have two and then stumble over to the Wealthy Theater and watch a movie that I probably already own on DVD.
It's different in the theater.
Yeah, it really is. I went and saw Magnolia with one of my buddies there. Ooh. And I was like, this is an amazing 3.5 hour experience. This is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's only $6 for non-members or $5 for members.
Yep.
And membership starts at $12 a year. And with that, you get privileges at the members' bar. So you can enjoy a nice beer, some very affordable candy and popcorn and soda.
Now I want to go to the movies. Damn it.
It's only 2 days away every Tuesday at 7 p.m., I think.
Yeah, I think it's 7.
Check out Wealthy Theater's website for more information on the Meanwhile movie series, film series, something like that.
What else is there? Electric Cheetah, which is right over there too. That's great. Oh, yeah. That food is fantastic.
Just down the street, Uncle Cheetah's Soup Shop.
I haven't had it yet.
It's very, very good.
I want to. I'm not the biggest fan of soup. Like
tacos also.
Oh, well, fuck yeah. I love tacos. Yeah. I like soup too. It's just I never seek it out. My girlfriend loves soup. She's like, she gets soup every time she goes anywhere that she can.
Huh.
And I'm like, I have never understood. Like, I eat soup when I'm sick. Huh. You know. Especially if it's like a liquid. It's like you're drinking food because it's food. I don't know. It's weird. Soup is weird.
It is weird.
I never had an opinion on soup until this question. You're getting deep in me. Oh, Jesus Christ. Take that out.
You heard it here first.
Oh, my God. Even that. Take that out. All right. Joke's done.
What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
The instant gratification.
Mm.
And also the instant... I actually really like this. This is something that I don't think anyone would ever say, but I really like when a joke doesn't work. And I didn't used to. I used to hate it and get angry at the crowd. But now I see it as like a, oh, I just said that wrong. Or, oh, it didn't make sense. Or, oh, I need some editing to do. I need to work on it harder. So that's something that definitely makes me introspective. So I have to look at myself and what I said, how I said it. And then also, am I wrong? You know? I kind of like that now. So you embrace the silence. I really like that. That's one of my favorite things.
Embrace the silence.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, you can't become uncomfortable with silences. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, and you can't.
What's your favorite thing about watching comedy?
Laughing. It would have to be laughing, right? It's like it makes you feel good. I'm doing a bit now about people that don't let out their laugh. Like they kind of just, ha ha, and then they're done. And I've never understood that. Can you not let go of what's happening outside these four walls where you're just like, ha ha, oh, my mortgage. But yeah, it's the same type of person that holds in a sneeze or something like that. And then I go into a big bit about it. But
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, I put a clip up of that. But it feels good. Like things that feel good, you should let them out, I think. You know, morality wise. But
indeed.
Yeah, I just like laughing. I like that. And I like watching someone work on, you know, a joke, and it's an art form and that, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just, it makes you feel different. You feel alive, kind of. I say kind of because I'm a zombie. I'm not really alive.
Oh, boy. The final question of the interview portion of the show If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Cut your fucking hair. When I was 16, I let my hair just grow and grow and grow. And I looked terrible. And I still have done that lately. Because I always let my hair grow and then get a haircut when it's way too late. But yeah, that's what I would have said to him. Because he also didn't condition his hair. Mm-hmm. He just shampooed it. But yeah.
I have been meaning to set up a musical transition into the break,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't had time to do that yet. So if you wouldn't mind, please doing some sort of performance, musical or otherwise.
Oh, okay.
And then ring the bell when you're done.
I'll tell you what, I'll play a barn song. Do you want me to just play it into the
Great.
Microphone?
Sure.
Okay. Dee 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 dee. Let's find a good one. All right. I'll play. So I have a podcast too. My buddy moved.
Oh.
My buddy moved to Spain. So we haven't done one, but this is the intro music to our podcast.
What's the podcast called?
The Carrot Podcast. K E R R I T. Because his name is Kevin and mine is Garrett. Carrot.
And that's on all of the podcast things?
To my knowledge, maybe. I don't know if you have to. Do you have to submit to like Stitcher and all that?
Stitcher, yes.
Yeah, I didn't submit to Stitcher. It's just on iTunes and Google Play and yeah. SoundCloud.
Huh.
SoundCloud is our host or whatever. So we just bought that. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen because it's like coming up where we have to renew it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. we haven't recorded in a long time. So.
Oh. What does SoundCloud charge for?
It's 140 for a year.
140 bucks a year?
Yeah, so we just split it down the middle.
Yeah. Huh.
I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was like 70-something, so then it was 35? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get an email about it. Anyway, you want me to play this good old thing?
Yeah, please.
I think it should be loud enough.
All right, guys. This song is called Salad Bar. Hope you...
Slowly fade it. Here we go.